in-depth and God-filled conversations with some of the brightest names in contemporary Christian music and worship. This is The Artist Interview with Gordon T.
Hey y'all, my name is Austin Kane.
Hey, I'm Franny Ray Cash Kane, and we hope you love our episode of The Artist Interview.
And that was The Plans by We The Kingdom. And I'm so grateful for Franny and Austin for joining us on The Artist Interview. Franny, can I check, do you just go by Franny or Franny Ray?
It's been a confusing thing lately. So my maiden name is Frances Ray Cash, but I always went by Franny. And then when I got married, it changed to Frances Cash Kane. But I always loved the Ray and I kind of want to keep it. But She's probably going to have to go. But I'm just holding on for dear life to Ray.
Okay, so whichever I use is sort of acceptable.
Yeah, I have like five.
Austin, just so you know, what is your middle name?
My middle name's Glenn, which is just Glenn. It's my dad's middle name, his dad's middle name. It's every man in the family's middle name.
Family name. Okay, that's cool. Okay, so the track we just played, The Plans by We The Kingdom, it is the brand new track from We The Kingdom. We absolutely love it. It's an awesome track. Can you tell us the story behind that track? How did it come about and why is it important to you guys?
Yeah, for me, that song is really, really special because at the beginning of last year, 2023, I started feeling like the Lord was prodding my heart to go in a different direction, to try some new things. I was honestly terrified at first. Like, what does this mean? Leaving this band that I've worked so hard to build, that I have all these, you know, special relationships with, like, what is that going to look like? And I just remember it being several months of me like getting on my knees a lot and being like, God, is this really you? Like, what are you calling me into? Why, you know, all of those things. Mm-hmm. And a few months into the year, we started writing this song called The Plans. I think we might've written it for a group of people to just encourage them to trust in God and the plans that he has for their life. I don't think the guys knew that I was going into a transition, but honestly, whenever we started playing it, it just really kind of floored me because I was like, God, I know this is you. Like, we wrote the song together, but I know this was you, like, giving me something to hold on to as I go into this new season. Mm-hmm. And it's been so special to play it live. Throughout the whole summer, we would play it live. And just every time I would sing, it would remind me, like, I don't need to be afraid of what's next because God's got me. Like, the best is yet to come. And I can trust in that. And Yeah, so it was a huge encouragement to me. And then I remember being in the studio. I literally think the day that my dad asked me to come record the vocals, I think it was like maybe a couple days before I planned to tell him that I was. And he like looked back at me and I was just sobbing, singing it in the studio because he's the producer for the band. And I just remember like sobbing. He kind of looked back and was like, what is going on? I was like, you're not going to like this.
Wow.
But it was a sweet moment between us, and he can kind of pinpoint that too. It'd be like, I remember, you know, whenever you were singing The Plans, I kind of felt a peace in my heart, like God might be calling you into something. Didn't know quite what it was, but I could just tell.
Yeah. And I think so many times people are guided by the voice of culture or the voice of their family or the voice of their spouse, all these other things that can distract us. And when Bible talks about, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, it's God's plan for your life. And one thing that I love about Franny is that she isn't guided by the voice of culture or the voice of what other people say, but she's guided by God's voice. Mm. And thanks, man. It's been on your heart for a while, and God's kind of made so many things obvious and clear that for this season of life, to take a step away. And this is the plan that God has for Franny's life and for my life and for ours together. And so it's been really cool to see the truth of what the Bible says in this song and then actually played out in our lives. Because last time we talked, we were in Nashville, Tennessee, and right now we're in California and we're here for the next, you know, couple months. And it's a cool way God has kind of ushered us here in order to really dive in on our marriage and grow with him, you know?
Yeah, so true.
Which is exciting and different and scary and something that lots of people are going, what? That didn't make any sense at all. So, but you've gone with what you feel God's calling you into. Mm-hmm. And also, I guess, calling you out. I would think most people would know that We the Kingdom have had phenomenal success as a band. They've had 2 Grammy nominations, many hits, awesome albums, and become a real favorite amongst people who love Christian music. And we sing their songs in our church. I listen to your music in the car. Hey, I went on a road trip. I had 5 hours of listening to We the Kingdom. Whoa. So it was, I just put on We the Kingdom, and I was getting annoyed when people phoned me because I was like, wait, I'm still trying to listen to We the Kingdom. So it was
make it all the way across to the UK in 5 hours, yeah. Right?
Yeah, well, I was driving from the very south up towards. I went past Coventry. That also made me think of you guys. So, because isn't it Coventry your friend is from?
She's from Leicester.
Oh, Leicester and Coventry are very close. It was Leicester. I always get the two confused. There we go. Yeah. That is Leicester. That's what I was thinking of from when we chatted a long time ago. Sorry, total divergent segue. Good memory, but I remembered it wrong. But I knew it's somewhere around there in the Midlands. So in fact, I was in Leicester. There's a great church there called Cromer, who do like some really good leadership conferences and stuff like that. So it's exciting having been there recently. Right, anyway. So, okay, what I was going to say is We the Kingdom, extraordinary band, amazing journey, loved your voice. Can we just quickly pick into a little bit of the past for a moment with regards to some things?
Totally.
For the two, what have been your favorite We the Kingdom tracks?
Oh, okay. For me, my favorite kind of over the past 7 years that I was in We the Kingdom was Dancing on the Waves. It was the first song that we actually wrote. It was the song that we wrote before we'd even decided to be a band. And I think there was a purity even in that, you know, and we wrote it for a group of high school kids, but it ended up just becoming an anthem for me, kind of similar to The Plans. Those two songs, I actually feel like God, maybe And Peace. I felt like God kind of met me in those moments of my life with these songs and used them not only to minister to other people, but really to minister to me. But Dancing on the Waves is, I mean, we played it at we had the guys play it for us at our wedding when we like tied the cord, and yeah, it's really special to me. It always has been.
I love it. I'd say for me, my favorite over the past couple of years has been No Doubt About It.
Mm. Oh, great choice. No Doubt About It. So I've got 3 on there. No Doubt About It is the number 1 on the list.
Yeah.
Oh,
well. Yeah, I love that it reminds us of like, this isn't our permanent home. And I think the longer we live on earth, the more we get comfortable with the things that God has given us to enjoy here. And when we get distracted by the things he's given us to enjoy, we forget we're enjoying God. Mm. And at the end of our life, we're really here just to be with God.
Yeah.
And we want to be with God on earth as it is in heaven. And I think that song encapsulates that so well that it's like, there's no doubt about it. I'm on my way home.
Yeah.
And just as humans, we try and make our home here. And so we plant our roots as deep as we can on earth. And it's just, that song reminds me to keep my eyes back up to,
really good.
Back up to God, you know? But Gordon, what are your 3 favorites? You said you wrote them down.
So No Doubt About It, Waking Up, and Peace. Yeah, I regularly phone into my own station. I don't know the breakfast show, but if I'm driving and they're doing the breakfast show, I'll phone them up and say, oh, could you put on Waking Up, please? It's a great show for the morning. A great track for the morning
show. Oh my gosh. So, I remember though, whenever we wrote that song, I remember thinking to myself, so many people are going to, like, they're going to love this song and then they're going to absolutely hate it because it's going to have been their alarm song.
Yeah, you know how whatever your alarm clock is, you hate that sound after like 2 weeks. And so if that's an alarm clock, they're like, at the end of it, they're like, no, turn it off.
I'm actually now going to go and set that to be my alarm clock sound because I haven't ever done that. But it sounds...
You'll hate it.
I wake up feeling good.
You know? Yeah, I think you'll help me wake up feeling good. So I tell you what we should do right now. Let's have a little medley of No Doubt About It, Dancing on the Waves, and somehow Waking Up.
Great lunch. There's no doubt about it.
Where I was, I'm reaching out. And thank you very much for Dan in the studio, who somehow managed to make that work. So love the tracks that you just picked. So what about your favorite moment from being in We The Kingdom? And for both of you, because I guess, Austin, you being married to someone who's in the band, I guess you've got all the things going in your own life, but also probably also trying to get to the shows where you can. Is that fair?
Absolutely, yeah. Tagging along as many as I could, for sure. Yeah.
Oh, when you said that, I literally started tearing up because I was just thinking back on like years of memories, you know? And like we say that 1 year on the road is like 5 years of normal relationships. So really, I feel like I've been living with these people, not only like my family and the band, but also like our background singers who became two of my best friends. Any of the guys on our crew were like brothers to me, and we go on runs and just all this stuff. There's so many memories. Also like the red carpets and the red rocks and all those things. But I think my single most favorite We The Kingdom moment, I kind of mentioned this earlier with Dancing on the Waves, but it was when we wrote Dancing on the Waves in the hot tub. I like at this Young Life camp. I can't describe it. It was like the Holy Spirit just was so there. And it was pretty magical, honestly, an electric feeling. Like it was a really special moment. Yeah, I'll never forget it.
Now, wait a second, were you dating when that was happening? Because that's 2018, but I think you got married in 2020, is that right?
Good memory. That we got married in 2020. In 2017.
Mm-hmm. 2017, okay.
Yeah. And they weren't like, hadn't actually made a band, they just read the song. And then
you were at some camp and it was around, I thought you played it around a fire or something. I can't remember.
Yeah. They were at a
camp
in Georgia, and they wrote it for these kids that were from Miami, you know, by the beach down there, and kind of this, that's like God's heart for you is that he looks at you and says, you're a masterpiece. You're amazing.
Yeah.
And I think so many times, you know, all of us, kids especially, but we start to think that we don't have value because maybe we are not important on earth, but our value comes from who created us, you know, and not what other people say about us. Mm-hmm. My quick memory, most recent memory was from this Christmas tour they just did. And there's this one guy who would come to most every show. His name's Noah. And he's on the spectrum, but he is just amazing. He's got a heart of gold. And he's any song, he's on the front row. It could be Peace. And everybody's having this quiet moment. And he's like, And they brought him up on stage in Birmingham, Alabama. And he came up on stage to dance and jump around during the Christmas tour. And it was really, really sweet. Oh. It was like, I think something special is like there's a kid in all of us that we grow up and we put all these protective coverings and to kind of like shield ourselves from shame or embarrassment or insecurity. And sometimes someone that's on the spectrum, those guards are down. And so he's so himself and he brings out the kid in all of us. So everybody there's instead of being serious on stage goes from like, oh, wait, we are just having fun.
Yeah.
We're worsheiping God. This isn't a big deal.
Let's just
worship God. So he's just disarming. It was a really special moment. Right. Yeah.
Wow. That sounds great. So my wife and I are involved in a student ministry, and there's a guy who comes along there who's got learning disabilities, I think is what it's pretty correct to say these days. He's a really lovely guy, totally faithful. But he loves worship, absolutely loves music. And he will come and be part of the worship band every week. He can't play a note of anything. He comes with either air guitars or air drums.
Yeah.
And he sits there and it is so beautiful. And I just know it pleases Jesus' heart and it's great. So I love the fact we can include him and celebrate with him and let his gifting out, which is something that probably elsewhere people might go, why is he doing that? But you know what? God just smiles all over this guy. So yeah, it's so cool that you let the guy, and that's got to be a moment he's probably not going to forget in a hurry. So I was going to ask, what was your most significant fan encounter? I don't know if that would therefore be your most significant fan encounter. I'm sort of thinking positive ones, because I imagine there's also ones you go, I wish that had never been said and never happened.
There were definitely some of those.
I can imagine people going, oh, will you marry me? And you're going, but I am married. That sort of thing can be a bit embarrassing.
That did happen. Somebody came up to my brother and was like, I think a lot of people knew I was married, so I didn't have experience that as much as like an Ann Wilson. She's one of my friends and she gets that like multiple times every day. It's so sad. But he was like, God told me that I'm going to marry you. And I was just like, God told my husband that too.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if God told you that, buddy. Yeah, no.
Okay. So most significant fan encounter, honestly, this is a bunch of little ones, but we ended up having this, I guess you could call it like a fan club, but it felt more like extended family or something. It was called the We the Kingdom band, front row, the front row crew is what they call themselves. And it was like a handful of about like 10, 15 people. They kind of started an Instagram page, and a lot of them just came to a lot of our shows. I don't know if you've ever like come across Joey Tran. He comes to a lot of Christian concerts, and Megan and two Katies and just like a handful of them that would bring us gifts and just like really like they would dress up like us. Like it was really funny and also just sweet. Like it was like just kind of comforting to look out and see some familiar faces when you're like in random Oklahoma and you're like, I don't know anybody here and I miss home. And then you see one of these people, and it was just, it was really, really sweet. So I think Joey came to like, I think it was like 80 We the Kingdom shows.
Oh my goodness. That's extraordinary. Yeah. Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was really dedicated. And he still is. He'll still text me pictures of like them. He'll go to their shows and like, I'll be like, I'm here. I'm like, cool.
Oh, well, that's amazing. And I've got to say, also a shame because you were meant to come, Franny, to the UK a couple of years ago, just after COVID, and then sadly it couldn't work out, which I guess was
Franny for me. Talked about wanting to come for so long. She was like, if I can play anywhere, I want to go to the UK and play a show. And then, you know, the way it worked out didn't happen. But
I really wanted to do Big Church, and I wanted to do Creation Fest. Really?
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay. That would have been... That'd be cool. Actually, now that's just hurting. So let's not focus on that too much.
You never know.
You never know what might happen. So okay. And what do you feel coming out, stepping out from We the Kingdom? What are the things that you're most relying on God for, and what is He most teaching you guys about?
That's a great question. Honestly. This sounds weird to say, because it is like you said, stepping out of something, it can be painful. Like I'm sure a lot of listeners here maybe transitioning out of something hard or have lost something, you know, that was dear to them, and it's painful. But also like, because God has been so in it, it just feels so right that it does feel like maybe a bit of a weight has lifted. Like just knowing that I'm doing the right thing right now, which does have a lot of question marks. I'm still like, I'm getting into a few little, you know, exploring some new things, like been trying some acting stuff, which has been really fun, like some speaking stuff, and definitely we'll probably do music again at some point because I love it. I just need a break for right now. But I would say I'm relying on God for guidance, which is part of why I asked Austin if I could come take a sabbatical far away from Nashville, far away from, you know, any distractions, and just seek the Lord on what's next. And I really do feel like He's been speaking to me. And so I'm relying on Him for continued guidance, but also do feel like He's meeting a lot of those answers and giving me a lot of clarity. And then what was the second part of that question? What are you relying on God for? And then what else was it?
And what's He teaching you about? What areas is He stretching you?
Yeah, I think stretching, honestly, I hope this isn't too honest, but there's definitely an element of like financially, like when you step out of something like that, you're like, okay, wait, what is this going to look like? And you just like, I don't know, you know, like I'm sure there are a lot of people who are like, God might call them to something that requires that they kind of have to take a step back financially or whatever, if you're leaving a job or going into ministry or whatever. So that's definitely been something I've been having to rely on God for. And I feel like He's teaching me all kinds of things. The main thing lately has been that He's my father before any of my family is my family. And so like what He has, like I was reading that part, whoever, you know, in, I think it's in Matthew, like whoever loves their father, mother more than me is not worthy of me. And I don't think I ever like loved my family more than God, but I do think that I respected their opinions almost too highly sometimes and wouldn't follow where God was taking me because I was like, you know, just felt like I needed to like respect them and honor them and just kind of go with what they said. And my family loves God, but I think there's a new level that God is calling me to of viewing Him as like, He's my dad.
Yeah.
As simple as that is, I feel before like my other dad.
One thing we've been learning too, is even that, you know, at the end of David's life in 2 Samuel 22, and he writes one more song, and it's the song of deliverance. And David has gone through so much. I mean, he's fought Goliath. He's slept with Bathsheba, you killed Bathsheba's husband. I mean, he's done so much ups and downs, up and down in David's life. And the last thing he says before David passes on, who's the man after God's own heart, is a song of deliverance, of saying, God, you've brought me not only through it, but over it. And I'm no longer bound to what has happened in my past, but I can, by the grace of God, move into the future. And I think we've been learning about that, of just God, his love delivers us time and time again. And that the song we sing is a song of deliverance. And in between all that might be songs of joy and songs of sorrow, just like in the Psalms when David is writing. But I feel like that's something that we've really been learning, of trusting more in God than trusting in any one person this side of heaven.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. And I guess one of the things that's key with whatever situation we find us in, and all the things that God's calling us into, is making sure we find his peace in it.
Yeah.
And the song that I'd love you guys to talk about now would be Peace, which we'll play next, if that's okay. Tell us about Peace and the significance of that for you guys.
Yeah. I mean, like, just kind of starting to talk about it more honestly now in my life. Gordon and I were talking about this off screen before we recorded, but I've definitely struggled with a lot of mental health issues, been through some really tough stuff in my life that's contributed to that. And it's been kind of a consistent battle. I mean, Austin has seen me in some like pretty dark moments, just to be like totally honest, like struggling with self-harm and suicidal thoughts and all those things. And I don't say that as I'm not still in it, so I can talk about it, like giving an encouragement that there is an other side to all those things for anybody who might be on the other side of that right now. But I remember Peace. My dad had actually written a song for Bethel's project about the Peace album, which was designed to help people who struggle with depression and anxiety. And he tells this story, but I'll just, you know, tell it from how he tells it. He said that he tried to sing it multiple times and it wasn't connecting. And he was like, maybe Franny's supposed to sing it, whatever. So he asked me to come over and I just immediately connected with it. But I thought that it was so like odd that like I would connect with it because I was not peaceful at all. And so I almost feel like in the most weird, non-weird way possible, I think God gave me that song almost to encourage like my future self, you know, you've got this, like you can trust in God's peace and over your life and let that start healing you. And it's been really beautiful to watch God like really heal me, like honestly, from some stuff I probably thought I'd never be able to get over. And it's been beautiful. Like there is definitely healing. So that song, all that to say, I think God used that as a seed to start this work of healing me. And I think it, from what I've heard, I'll have people text me all the time. Like, I listen to the song to help me with whatever I'm going through. And like, people go through some really hard stuff on this side of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that song has helped a lot of people, but I think it helped me too. And I think people can look at the person who sings the song and be like, oh, they've got it all together. I'm like, if only you knew, you know?
And Gordon, since we started dating in the end of 2018. And so for the past 5 years, we've been in Nashville and we just came out to California about 3 weeks ago. And honestly, the first time, right when we got here, even though this was something we were so excited about, for the first couple of days I was here, I like couldn't catch my breath. And I was like, what is this anxiety that I'm experiencing? Just a life change. And I feel like we all go through big changes in our lives. We don't know how our bodies are going to respond.
Yeah.
But then there is a peace that surpasses understanding. And it was the kind of thing where I was like, why is this? I know we want to be here in California, but why do I not feel settled? And I think so many times in our lives, God calls us to a place and it's like the Jonah story. We're fighting it a little bit. We don't really want to be there, but we know that's where God has us. And so this song, Peace, just really ministers to my heart. And it's so cool that it's Franny's voice singing over me and singing over our family and our future, and just trusting him.
Breathe in your peace.
That was Peace by We The Kingdom, and I'm so very pleased that Franny Cash Kane and Austin Kane are with us for the artist interview today. Austin, you know, so much has been shared from both of your stories, really. It'd be wonderful if you're happy to pray for listeners right now. I know there's going to be people who've connected with things, and particularly on just Franny mentioned the struggles with mental health and some of the things she's been through, and I know that that's something that many people will go, well, that's me, or that's someone that I'm close to, that I'm watching struggle. But Franny's story is a story of hope and of healing. And that song of peace is about God right in the middle of it. So please feel free right now to pray, Austin.
God, we come before you today, and we just want to humbly pray and say thank you for giving us breath in our lungs and another day on earth. And I pray that you help us have our vision towards you. And I pray for anyone listening, whatever they're going through, the transitions in life between jobs, maybe between relationships, that you comfort them, that God, you give us a peace that does surpass understanding. You love each and every person. And I pray that we feel that love, we feel your presence, and we feel your peace. God, I pray that you remind us today that you aren't the one that has hurt us in our past, but you're the one healing us and leading us into a future with you. And that by your power, by your Holy Spirit, you can heal all wounds and not even have scars, that you actually heal us and make us brand new. And you say that you can take our heart of stone, give us a heart of flesh. God, we trust you. We love you. I pray for our minds, that you transform our minds and our hearts, that you transform our hearts, and that we become and start to look more like you as we practice the way of Jesus today. Give us grace. Give us peace with the people we interact with. And fill us with your Holy Spirit. And I pray that from that we overflow with love and joy and peace and patience and all the fruits of the Spirit into other people in our lives. God, I'm just so grateful that we get to partner with you on this side of heaven. And ultimately, I pray that you increase and that we decrease, that we see more of you and less of us. God, we love you and we love the people that you put into our lives. I pray that you just give us peace over anxiety. You give us purpose over the pressure and the pain that we feel. And that honestly, you just give us the persistence to keep going. And our hope is in you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Austin. I just want to quickly say, for people who are listening who are in this time in a dark place, struggling with mental health and not sure where to turn, I just want to firstly say you're valued and you're precious and you're loved. And I want to encourage you, as Austin said, to keep going. Just keep going one step at a time. And I want to encourage you to try and reach out to get some help as well. There are many churches that are equipped with good ministries to help people, where they can give you counseling and help break through some freedoms for you. And as well as churches, there are specialist ministries around. And of course, secular counseling as well. Don't want to rule that out. I just want to say, go and get some help. Talk to somebody. Don't keep this stuff to yourself. Yeah. When you keep it to yourself, you are not going to easily be able to walk forwards out of it. So to take advantage of the things around you. And also just slight aside, I just want to say, not every church and not every Christian is equipped to help take you through a step at a time on these things. So if you're finding that your church, if you're in a church, aren't able to help, maybe just speak to someone you can trust in the church and say, I need a bit more help than this church can give, and ask if they can point you in the right direction. Because I don't want you to find yourself in a dead end where you go, oh, this is all there is, because actually God really wants to help move you into true freedom. And of course, as well, if you're listening to this and you're going, well, who is this Jesus that Franny and Austin and Gordon are chatting about? I'm not even sure I've tuned into this by mistake. I just want to encourage you, if you're in the UK, get along to www.findachurch.co.uk, because there are many thousands of churches that would love to welcome you and help know more about God's love. And if you're listening to one of our partner stations worldwide, connect with the studio and just ask them to recommend a great church. I know they'd love to do that for you. Guys, thank you so much. Okay, so Fran, can I just pop back in time then? Because if I remember this rightly, and I'm sorry, Austin, that many of my questions are directed to your wife.
Oh, no.
You're very kind. So, but I remember, Franny, that you went to YWAM in Hawaii. Now, I would have thought, so YWAM's Youth for the Mission. I did it myself many years ago.
You did?
Yeah, my wife and I did it.
We probably talked about this. That's crazy. That's so cool.
Yeah, we did. We did back back in the 1990s. So,
okay.
Last century, okay.
Yeah, last century, dudes. So, okay. Yeah. So, and I would have thought that when you were with YWAM, there'd be opportunities for some of this stuff to get worked through. Was it that, and I know there was pain from past church hurt and experience, and I think it was one of the healthers, wasn't it, Melissa, who told you to go to YWAM, is that right? Yeah. She said, you've got to get out of the situation and get yourself to YWAM and give yourself a bit of space.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that was a place where a certain degree of healing happens.
For sure, yeah.
But then you were still carrying stuff that God hadn't touched at that stage.
Yeah.
Is that because sometimes just stuff's in God's timing, or do you think it was that there was more, but you just didn't have time to work on it? I don't know. I'm just interested in how comes sometimes it takes so much longer than I like things done fast, you know. Right. So, all right, sort me out, God. So any ideas why, although you had sort of those months there,
yeah,
some degree of healing, but not all healing?
That is a great question. I actually have a lot of people from YWAM or in ministries like that who ask a similar question. I've never been asked that exactly before, but who ask a similar question on kind of like, I don't agree with that ministry anymore because it didn't fix all my problems, or that kind of almost mentality, which is different than yours. It's more of a bitter mentality and yours is more curious. And I think it's going to offer the listener something. But so when I went to YWAM, I walked through a really traumatic church situation. Like if I went into all the details, you'd be like, on the other side, it was
shocked.
Very,
yeah.
Very traumatic. And coming out of that, went straight to YWAM. God really met me there. I think I heard God's voice for the first time. I felt him tell me that he loved me, that he was going to heal me. I started like researching the scriptures. My friend that I was telling you about who I met in YWAM, I met her on outreach for the 3 months of like evangelism, but the 3 months of like lecture phase, I was kind of just like in the prayer room the whole time, like researching the Bible, being like, what is true, what is not. So it was very foundational for me. But they kind of broke up lecture phase. I don't know if this was how it was for you and YWAM, but they broke up lecture phase into two different parts. And one was more introspective, kind of dealing with mother-father wounds, your view of God, your worldview, all of that. And then they had the second 6 or so weeks more extrospective, like learning about the spheres and how you can use your sphere for ministry and evangelism and how to be on outreach and how to work under a missionary and stuff like that, more practical stuff.
Yeah.
So I think the amount of work that I needed in my heart, it was not enough time to really go into the introspective stuff. I think I started to scratch the surface and be like, oh, I have some stuff here. And I definitely got the tools of like learning to talk to God and all of that. But I needed more professional help when I came home to help me go and do the like mind body work, like EMDR. I don't know if you've heard of that. It's like it's a type of counseling where they actually, similar to the Bethel music, they play these bilateral sounds that, which is what the Peace album is, to help lower your fight or flight and help you enter into your subconscious so you can talk about traumatic events in an objective way, not in a triggering way.
Okay.
So you kind of bring the light of God, like, be like, this happened to me and this is what I believe God is doing through it, or what he taught me through it, as opposed to like, I don't want to talk about it, I'm still in pain, you know? So it kind of helps to make names or events that happen a little less scary, is kind of what that was. But I also needed to do a lot of memory work. So there was a lot of times in counseling with my counselor in Nashville. I've had a couple of different counselors in Nashville who have all been just amazing. I have nothing bad to say. But they would go through my memories and then help me remember painful memories that still might have like beliefs about myself or about God that I got from those painful memories or whatever. And so sometimes it's just like years of like, you know, going to counseling, or, you know, situations can trigger stuff that was dormant. Like, you know, one of my friends is, she got married and marriage triggered her husband really badly. Like he had a terrible family life growing up. And so marriage just kind of like, you might have not seen that he was like this before, struggled in this way, but he just kind of started struggling after he got married. And so it's like different people can experience different triggers that bring out different stuff that might require like you going through the layers, and the layers can be like 200 layers deep sometimes. So you might be like, oh, I have layers. If you know, if you like YWAM or something like that, might open you up to be like, oh, I have layers I need to work on, you know, but then you have to like actually do the work, which is, you know, taking ownership over your story and realizing like, I'm not a victim. Like I can be a victor in Christ, like over the things that have happened to me. But it does kind of require you doing the work, you know, like I'm sure you've done in your life too. And anybody listening, like the work has, honestly, I got to a place where I think the work was kind of fun. Like I almost got inspired by it. Every time I'd go, it'd be so hard to talk about a memory. But then seeing how rewarding it was on the other side, the inspiration it would give me for art or music or the freedom that I felt, the space that I felt in my heart, the lack of wanting to hurt myself, like those kinds of things. I was like, this is actually kind of fun. I like this. So after a while, I think I started to enjoy.
You saw the positive fruits of it and
like running. You're like, you hate it at the beginning. Then the more you run, the more you're like, I love this. And that's why people run marathons. I'm not there yet, but maybe like, maybe a similar thing, you know?
Maybe do the London Marathon. You could, if you're not going to come here to sing, you could do that. It's a great run. So I've never done. Would you? Oh, Austin's smiling as well.
I'd love to do that. That'd be awesome. What? Yeah.
Yeah. It's the new challenge. Yeah, great. Okay, we're going to enjoy watching the two of you train on your social media.
You have to do it with us then.
Exactly. No, I'm banned from doing marathons. So I really couldn't. But thanks for authoring. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll be at the end and give you guys a drink. How about that?
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
Perfect.
That'll help. So, okay. Thank you. Thank you, Franny. Just to say, I want to make sure you're being open and honest about things. I've had counselling for stress as well, which when people meet me, that sounds a bit strange. But actually, anyone can find themselves in a situation, maybe through no fault of their own, where actually it's just got to a stage where it's just too difficult to keep on going forwards. And getting some counselling can be a very, very helpful way to actually change and reframe things and help you understand what you've been through and still the goodness of God. So thanks, Franny.
That's awesome.
Austin, I've got a question for you then. So how is your mental health? You strike me as a what's up, happy kind of guy, which is good. But have you always had good mental health?
I think as a kid, I wasn't as aware of emotions. I felt like growing up, I was trained that there was, the only emotions that were important were happy ones, and anything negative you suppress. And so then as a growing up, I would have these spurts of anger, and I like really had a hot temper growing up, and would get really frustrated about things. And I think that anger is a part of mental health that I think is overlooked, because a lot of people focus on anxiety and depression, which are so real. But I think anger and frustration is something that I've struggled with more, is that I can be pretty quick to get heated about something. And I feel like that's something that God has been working in my life and revealing, that I can be frustrated about a little thing, driving in traffic and being angry about, you know, the way somebody else is driving. And really that's a reflection on my heart. It's a problem that I need to focus on. Yeah. And I feel like God is really, joy of the Lord is as your strength. That my parents prayed for me so much as a kid for my anger, my temper tantrums, in order for me to overcome that. And I think now as an adult, I've struggled some with, I've gotten more over that, but I think recently trusting is, does God care about me? I know God cares about the world, but does he care about me? And so recently, honestly, the past, I don't know, 6 months to a year, I've struggled more with some anxiety and depression. And even with the first year we were married,
COVID really.
In 2020, I kind of had a trajectory for my music and the people I was working with. And then with COVID here in the US, it was just like, well, those plans aren't there. And I remember wrestling with God being like, well, God, I felt like you've called me to make music, but do you even care about me? Do you want me to do this? And so I went to a really dark place in my mind thinking, woe is me. I don't have all the things that I wanted so far in life. And I think God isn't withholding things in order to make us love him more. He knows what's best for us. And I think reframing my mind recently to be like, he's not withholding good things. He is giving good things. And exactly where I am is where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
When I'm in the palm of God's hand, that is the safest place to be. And so I think sometimes that has helped me realize when I go into these, the more darker places in my mind, of reminding myself of the truth of what God says about me, not what my mind is telling me about who I am.
And just to say, listeners on the radio will not have noticed, but when you mentioned about getting angry in traffic, Franny said, with her head and gave a big nod. So want to make sure. I know what you said. Very serious point you made, but that was a fun moment. So, okay. I guess also I'd like to ask about how you felt when, Austin, when Franny was maybe first said to you, I think I want to step out of the band. What did you say in that moment?
At the beginning of 2021, I remember thinking that because God has blessed We the Kingdom commercially, that it was exactly where Franny was supposed to be. And so I didn't really see that maybe there was other plans that he had for her life. So I was encouraging, I was like, Franny, maybe you should just stay in We the Kingdom and keep going. And then by about the start of 2023, so this time last year, I was like seeing that God had opened other doors for Franny and other things to go through. And really that the plan for your life that he has wasn't just to build a band and to do that for the rest of your life. Yeah. And I think whatever God calls you to, whether it's singing or acting or speaking,
even back to We the Kingdom for a time.
Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. It's like, it's seasonal. Yeah. And I think so much of life, God created the seasons for things to change and alter. And sometimes we go back to the things, and sometimes God takes us somewhere else. And I feel like that's something that I've been learning. So my initial reaction when Franny was like, I think I should leave With the Kingdom, I was like, wait, what?
Well, it kind of took us as a couple on this whole dive to like realizing the difference between our American, and I wonder a bit of the UK's perspective. I'm not sure exactly, but Americans are like notorious for being very, you know, materialistic and like, commercial success is just not, God showed us that like commercial success is not always the same thing as kingdom success, you know? And so like success in God's kingdom is like forgiving one another, loving each other, like having these healthy relationships or prioritizing the people that really matter in your life and pure, authentic, honest worship. You know, those are the things, and talking about like childlike spirit, like those kinds of things. And so I feel like God really kind of reframed both of us that like, it's not about the numbers and it's not about how big the stage is. Like, it's about what your relationship with God looks like behind closed doors. That's really what kingdom success is. And I just would rather have that, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I'm too far along on my journey with God to want anything short of wanting to be having that kingdom mindset.
And I think that's probably something that most Christian artists have to struggle with, because every time you've got a show booked, you have to go up there and lead the songs and do the worship. And actually, there are times when I don't want to sing worship. I want to sit quietly, and I don't want to be with other people, and I don't want to be on the radio. I love being on the radio, but there are times when I don't want to be on the radio. I want to whereas if you're on tour and you've got night after night and after night doing that, for me, I would know that there would be times when I'm having to get on stage and do it, but I would be, I'm going to say faking it. I'm going to have to go through the motions because that's what people need of me and require of me, but it's not going to be the fullness of my heart that's being expressed on it. And I'm sure that there's going to be some people going, well, no, I just worship all the time because I live to worship. So, but I know that for me, I would find that I would probably burn out pretty quickly trying to do the sorts of schedules that many bands have to do.
My last thought on that is that I feel like God has made it very clear in the Bible that the most important relationship is our relationship vertically with God. And then our next most important relationship is with our spouse. If God gives us a spouse, that it's with our wife or husband. And it's like, that is the secondary most important. And then kids and all these other things. And career isn't in that hierarchy of relationships. Career, God has created us to work. And before the fall, we were working. And after the fall, we're still working. But I think ultimately something that's helped my perspective is that the relationships is what God cares about. So our relationship with him and our relationship with each other. And so much of past couple of years we've spent apart, and now we're getting to spend so much time together, really growing as a couple, married couple, and then also with Jesus, you know,
which is really exciting. Actually, I love that. That's great. That's a great thing to be called into to depth of relationship with God and going closer together. I like that. So you mentioned about success and financial success and stepping out. And I think for the people in the UK and the US, to step away from something that's financially successful would be seen as being very, very foolish. In fact, when I went to YWAM, I was working in a job, and my father-in-law said, if you step away from this, it's financial suicide. Those are exactly his words. And I was like, yeah, but I just think I've got to prioritize my wife and I spending time with God. So worked out brilliantly, I should say. So there might be people listening right now who are really successful in what they're doing, and it's going great. And I guess I would like to challenge you. Do just have a prayer and just say, God, is this it? Because it might be exactly where God wants you. But if you have a prayer about it and then feel like, oh, I don't know, pray a little bit more and just see what Jesus will say, because you just need to be open to actually stepping into things that he has for you, even if they might look like a different type of success. Because certainly financial success is one thing, but it's not the main thing. So guys, wow, what you've been very encouraging. So I'm not going to quit straight away, but I love what you've done. So I watched your wedding video last night, and it was so sweet. I've seen it before. In fact, when it first probably fairly soon after you got married, I saw it and I liked it then. And the song that I saw on it was the Extraordinary Love song. Could you just tell us very quickly about the song Extraordinary Love, because it's Austin's song, who did you write it for, Austin? What's it about?
So I started writing it when we were engaged, and it's obviously about our relationship. And I think so many times, it's what's special about marriage is that God has literally given us marriage to depict the way that He loves the Big C Church, the Bride of Christ, like his church. And I think it is extraordinary. It's like, it feels like day to day, oh, you love somebody, you sacrifice, you give time with them. But at the end of the day, love is brilliant. It's amazing. It's such a gift from God. And it's, when you think about the fruits of the Spirit, the very first one mentioned in the Bible is love. Mm-hmm. And God says that He is love. And so if we get to experience something on earth that He is so designed, and He's blessed, and He's kissed, and it's a covenant between us. And so I remember being engaged and just being like, man, shoot, I like this girl a whole lot. And so I wrote the song, Franny sang on it. And then at our wedding, you know, we had our wedding ceremony, then we had a reception with all of our friends and family, and had a band on stage, a 10-piece band with horns and everything.
It was so good.
And a guitar player,
talk
and bass.
About dancing.
So we were dancing. And then, but we hopped up on stage before we got in the getaway car, and everybody lined up, and we got up on stage and performed the song together. And so I grabbed one of the guitars. We both got behind one mic, and the band, I was like, hey, the song's in the key of C major. And they were like, all right, cool. And the band, they're so pro. We played the song together. And then, so there's a clip in that video of us on stage, and it was actually not planned at all. It was totally spur of the moment, spontaneous. Yeah. So we hopped up, we jumped off stage, everybody lit sparklers, we walked through the tunnel, got in the car, and headed off.
It was really cute. Mm-hmm. I loved that.
Yeah, your face tells me you love that. Austin and Franny, this is your track, Extraordinary Love. That was Extraordinary Love by Austin Kane, and I'm so pleased that Franny and Austin are still here with us here for the artist interview. Guys, thanks for all you've shared. I'm excited about the adventure that you're on. So I'd love to know, you talked about the fact that for Franny, there's maybe she could do some acting, maybe she could do some singing, but not right now, have a break from that for a bit. Or maybe she did this or that. So Austin, what are you actually doing? So she's on sabbatical. Are you working at all, Austin, or are you just sabbaticaling?
I am. Yeah. So we packed everything into our little Honda CRV, and we drove across the country. And so I brought the most I could bring to fit in the car, but a little studio setup. So some speakers, a bass, electric guitar, acoustic guitar, microphones.
And our golden doodle.
And our dog. Yes. And so we're here in an Airbnb in just south of Los Angeles. And so I set it up over here to the side, and I've got a keyboard, and I've actually written a couple worship songs with guys out here that are worship leaders.
They are so good. I've listened to it probably 12 times, seriously, crying. Like it.
And then, and then I'm working on my own music as well. And so yeah. I'm putting out this year one song every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And so I put out one song 2 weeks ago, and now I'm putting out another one this Friday. And then, so just kind of like, I get to create a lot of music. So I thought this year might as well start putting it out. And so that's kind of what I've been working on.
So music generates some income for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And are you going to be gigging where you are at all, doing some shows, or what's the plan?
Not right now. So just making new music, working on some of my own music. And then a lot of what I've been doing over the past couple of years, just production for other artists. And so I still have a few artists in Nashville that I'm finishing their projects, some folk, some Christian, some country songs. And so I've wrapping up those mixes and masters, and then basically working on my own stuff. So that's kind of what I've been just working on music.
Cool. Okay. Well, that is great that earns some money. Nice location for you guys to be in, a big change.
Right.
What are the things that you know you want to achieve over how long? So we're recording this at the very start of February, 2024. How long are you pausing for, Franny? What's if this is a sabbatical, do you have a time frame when you want to be doing stuff, or?
It was 2 months, but it will have been 2 months when this is aired. And then I'm heading home I guess it's more like 3 months, 2.5 months, but I'm leaving for a couple work trips that I actually cannot say on what they are yet.
But Franny is doing like the first week of March, she's doing a speaking engagement.
I guess I can't talk about that one.
And singing at a girls conference in Dallas, Texas.
Yeah. It's called Therefore Gathering. It's amazing. It's a organization for high school girls, and I'm really excited about it. I'll be there for a couple of days in March. And then there's some other things that I can't wait to talk about.
That's okay. The timing's important. So if people want to connect with you guys, if they want to find you online, where do they go?
My Instagram is Franny Rae, FranniRae. And yes, I would love to follow along with you guys.
Mine's just Austin Kane.
Yeah.
On Instagram.
Isn't it Austin G. Kane?
Austin G. Kane on Instagram.
Lynn.
But he needs the G. So, and Kane is C-A-I-N.
Yes.
Not the other Kane.
We're like Cain and Abel, you know, watch out now. Then. Yeah.
Okay. You know what? We've got time, Austin, for one last track. The track's going to be Millionaire. Tell me all about Millionaire.
My track Millionaire, I actually started it with Martin, who is Franny's brother, the drummer for We the Kingdom. And he and I started the song. And then Ed, Franny's dad, heard it. And he was like, wow, I love this song. And so Ed and Martin and I finished the song, but we were kind of stuck on where to take verse two. And so I called one of my friends who's in a rock band called the band Camino. And he comes over to the studio, and us four, we finish writing the song. And then we had most of the production done. And there was like, it just, we wanted it to groove and bounce a little bit more. And so we called Tommy Prophet.
Yeah, we've had Tommy on the show before Christmas. Amazing guy.
Yeah, Tommy's awesome. Cool. So that's Tommy awesome. Came in and worked on the drums. And then we finished the song and had it sent to mix and master. And so the song is all about that feeling you get when you're with the person that you love. And that what love is, isn't about having a whole bunch of things and material things, but you can be rich because of the experiences that you share together. And so it's kind of a funny, like happy song, but it's all about being a millionaire is about being with the people that you care about. And so that's actual value and worth more than just the nice cars and the nice houses. So
yeah,
that's what the song's about. And it was really fun to work on with, you know, two of the guys in We the Kingdom, and it's been fun. So it's had some good traction so far.
Guys, it's been an absolute joy chatting today, and I look forward to catching your journey in due course. But right now, this is Austin Kane's track, Millionaire. Ooh.
Like a millionaire, a millionaire.
And that was Millionaire by Austin Kay. We're so very grateful to Franny and Austin for joining us on the artist interview. Of course, there are many other episodes from loads of other artists that you can enjoy on our podcast. Just go to your favorite platform and search up The Artist Interview. We hope you've known a bit of God's love, his blessing, his joy, and also his peace at this time. And if you're a person who've just maybe felt some of the stuff really related to you, just want to encourage you again, go and seek some help. Ask some people to pray for you and look for the goodness of God in all those things. I'm your host, Gordon T, and I look forward to joining you on the next episode of The Artist Interview.
Been listening to The Artist Interview, a Hope FM podcast. Find us at hopefm.com/theartistinterview.